Thank you very much for the opportunity to join with you this morning here in Lurgan Baptist Church. And we want to come to the Word of God, Genesis chapter 43 this morning. I'm just going to read one verse, verse number 11. Genesis chapter 43, and reading verse number 11. Again, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the invitation to preach the Word. And we do trust the Lord will bless the preaching of His precious Word here this morning. Genesis chapter 43, and we're reading verse number 11, please. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be, so now do this. Take of the best of the fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. And we do trust the Lord will bless the reading of His own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts here this morning. I remember hearing on one occasion, I can't tell you how true it is, that Princess Anne, when she was a child, she got mixed up with her brother Charles, and instead of realizing he was the Duke of Cornwall, she used to call him the Duke of Cornflakes. Also was told that Prince Philip, who's no stranger to putting his foot in it, apparently his pet name for Her Majesty the Queen was Cabbage. Now, I'm not sure my wife would be greatly enamored if I was to call her Cabbage. But I have no doubt that many of us have pet names for those who are near and dear to us. One of the most famous and widely used is the name Honey. And sometimes we call our wives Honey, and sometimes husbands are called Honey. Honey is something that is sweet, something that is pleasant, and something that is delicious. I want to talk about honey this morning. I'm old enough to remember the old Sugar Puffs advert. Tell them about the honey mummy and the honey monster and all that went along with it. I believe the Lord has led me here this morning to speak about the honey. Have you had a bitter experience recently? Indeed, many of us have had difficult experiences as we think about this coronavirus, as we think about what we're having to go through. It's a difficult time. It's a trying time. It's a testing time. And surely all of us could do with some honey, something to sweeten that bitter experience. I want to ask the question, have you looked for the honey this morning? Warren Wiersbe tells about a lady in his church. Her husband had passed away. She was ill herself. It looked as if she was going to go blind. There was a host of problems. On one occasion, she was coming out of the meeting, and Wiersbe said, I'm praying for you. And she said, well, what are you praying for? He replied, well, I'm praying that you'll know the help of the Lord and the grace of the Lord. And she said, that's good, but would you pray for one thing especially? Pray that I don't waste this experience. Pray that I don't waste this experience. Here was a lady who was looking for the honey. She was looking something to sweeten the bitter experience, something from the very hand of the Lord. I want to begin this morning where we read in Genesis chapter 43, and I'm coming back to Joseph here this morning, and it's a family scene. It's a scene about rearing, and I want to see if we can see where the honey fits into this scene this morning. The brothers are in turmoil. They're heading back to Egypt to meet Joseph. They don't realize who Joseph is at this stage. They've had to bring Benjamin with them. And this family is going through a difficult and a trying time. Maybe you can identify with them this morning. Maybe this time particularly has been difficult for your family. You see, there was loss in this family. As far as old Jacob was concerned, Joseph was dead. His darling wife Rachel had passed away. It was a difficult time for this family, and bereavement's always a difficult time. It was a time of great loss. It was a time when one of them was lost in picture form, if I can put it like this morning. In Genesis 42, verse 24, we read about Simeon. And he turned himself about from them and wept and returned to them again. And communion with them, we're talking about Joseph, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Simeon was thrown into an Egyptian prison. He was held captive. If you think of Egypt as a picture of the world, here is someone who's held captive by the world. Maybe you have someone in your family and they're lost this morning. And they're held captive by the world this morning. They're in the very grip of Satan. What a heartbreak. What a difficult experience. There was loss in this family. There was someone who was lost in this family in terms of not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. This family had been through many lows. Do you remember what Joseph told the father in Genesis 37, verse 2? It says that Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Some of the family had been engaged in things that were dishonoring to the family name. They had let the family down. Maybe some in your family have let the Lord down. And there's been great disappointment. Maybe you have let the Lord down. You can see the difficulties in this family. They had lost loved ones. They were at a low because, indeed, they'd gone through so many difficult times. And it seems that things had gone from worse to worse. And to add insult to injury, old Jacob had had to let Benjamin go. And this was causing real difficulty within this home. It was so bad that old Jacob said in Genesis 42, verse 36, all these things are against me. I wonder, are those your words this morning? I wonder, as you think of your family situation, I've called it a rearing situation, would you be able to say this morning, all these things are against me? Well, let's come to verse number 11 in Genesis chapter 43. And their father Israel said unto them, now here's the brothers, they're going to leave in the journey. If it must be so, now do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. The word honey is found in the Authorized Version of the Bible 56 times. It's a natural substance made by bees. It's naturally sweet. It's strengthening. It's sustaining. It has medicinal qualities. There's an abundance of vitamins and minerals in honey. It is really something that is sweet and something that brings joy and something that is a real delight. And as these brothers set out on this journey, their father gives them honey for the journey. I believe we've got a heavenly Father who gives us honey for the journey. I wonder, have you been looking for the honey? And all the difficulties that you're going through, have you been trying to see where is the goodness of God, the graciousness of God? Have you been looking for the honey? There's honey for the journey this morning. And I want to look at honey as it appears in some scriptures this morning and just share a few thoughts with you. And then I want to bring it to a conclusion, and we trust the Lord will use this word as an encouragement to your heart this morning. We talked about rearing. There's honey when it comes to the family situation. I want you to come over to Exodus chapter 16, please. Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 1. Not only is there honey when it comes to rearing, but there was honey when it comes to murmuring. Look at Exodus 16, verse 1. We're coming to the children of Israel here. It's 1 month from they've come out of Egypt. Verse number 1, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. It's 1 month, as I say, from they've come out of Egypt. What a month it has been. What a period they've just come through. There's highs and there's lows, and there's been all sorts of experiences. What euphoria as they come out of Egypt, rescued and redeemed, if you like, by the blood of the Lamb. What euphoria. What disappointment as they come to the Red Sea. Remember, there was no way through. There was mountains to the side of them and in front of them. The sea was to the side of them. The Pharaoh was coming to the rear of them. They were hemmed in. They were in a cul-de-sac. And you see, from the euphoria came the disappointment. And Moses had to say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What jubilation. As they march through on dry land and the sea rolls back, what a wonderful experience it must have been. Exodus 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Remember the jubilation as they marched through on dry land. Verse 23, and they came to Marah, and they could not drink of the waters. Oh yes, there was the euphoria when they were brought out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. There's a disappointment at the Red Sea. My, there's a jubilation as they march through on dry land. But here they come to this bitter experience at Marah. And then they move on. Verse 27, Exodus 15, and they came to Elim. where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. And now they move on again. And what jubilation and what joy as they come to Elim. Look at verses 2 and 3 in Exodus 16. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Do you see them murmuring again? Murmuring can become habitual. It can become a way of life. Murmuring is contagious. Verse 2 says the whole congregation. You know, there's nothing like encouragement. What a blessing when you find encouragers among the people of God. How sad when you find murmurers. And murmurers become contagious. Murmuring is mean. Look at verse number 3. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. What ungratefulness. Murmurers don't think straight. Look at verse 3 again. And the children of Israel said unto them, would God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. They're looking back to Egypt, where they suffered the taskmasters, where they were cruelly treated, and they look back and they're not thinking straight. It's always the wrong time to make a decision when you're in a murmuring mood. When you're going through difficult time, you could often make a decision and you'll regret it for a long time. And here we see these murmurers. They were habitual. It was contagious. They were mean. They weren't thinking straight. And murmuring is fruitless. It achieves absolutely nothing. And what a terrible month they've had. What a terrible time perhaps you've been through. Looking back to the 23rd of March when the Prime Minister said, you're not allowed to leave your homes. What a period all of us have been through. I've noted sometimes there may have been highs, but there's been so many lows. We're up and we're down. And it's been a difficult time and a real trying time. And maybe you could murmur at the drop of a hat. Look at verse 4 in Exodus 16. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And here God sends manna, and they were to gather this manna each day with the exception of the Sabbath. Look down to Exodus 16, verse 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And here's the honey. Here's the honey for the journey again this morning. Let me tell you, have you had a difficult month? Has your month, has this period been times of highs and lows, and maybe there's been so many lows? Are you looking for the honey this morning? Let me tell you, there's honey for the journey this morning. There's honey when we're rearing and we have family difficulties, and God has the honey for us. There's honey when we're murmuring, when we're going through these trying and testing and difficult times where we're tempted to murmur and not to trust the Lord. Has there been murmuring when it comes to challenging? I want you to come over to Psalm 19. I'm just taking you to a few scriptures this morning very quickly. Psalm 19, I think most of you will know, certainly the initial verses, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And God talks about the creation, and God has spoken through what he has wrought. And what a wonderful message creation brings to the world. You know, it doesn't matter about the language. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. God speaks through creation. But God not only speaks through what he has wrought, God speaks through what he has written. Look at Psalm 19, verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And here he talks about the word of God and talks about converting the soul. And that word convert means to bring back. And of course, we would bring this word to bear with those who are out of Christ this morning and without a Savior. You need to be brought back. You need to be brought from the broad way that's leading to destruction onto the narrow way which leadeth unto life. And it takes the word of God empowered by the Spirit of God to convict you of your sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that you might bow the knee and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You need to be brought back. You need to be reconciled, reconnected to God. But of course, we could apply this word to the believer. I wonder, has God been challenging you? Has God been challenging you through the Word of God? Even through this lockdown period, as you've perhaps spent more time in the Word of God, as you've been listening to various messages online, has God been speaking to you? Has God been challenging you? And you've found it difficult because it's painful sometimes. When God speaks, it can be hurtful when God speaks. But are you going to accept the Word of God? See what we find in verse number 10. As the writer speaks about the Word of God, he says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." Sometimes the Word of God can be bitter to taste. And what God has to say can be difficult for us to take. But when the Word is accepted and we believe and trust what God is saying, I'll tell you, there's nothing more sweeter than an obedient life. I wonder if you've been looking for the honey. I wonder, has God been challenging you and you're annoyed with God? And God has challenged your prayer life and challenged your walk with Him and challenged the time that you spend in the Word of God and perhaps even challenged you about sin in your life. And you know, there's honey for the journey. There's honey when God is challenging you. I want you to come over to Judges chapter 14. I want to look at another mention of the word honey, and I understand the context here of Samson, and I know Samson had taken the Nazarite vow and he shouldn't have tasted anything from a dead carcass, but I want you to set that aside and just see a little picture here. Come over to Judges 14 and verse number 1, please. Judges chapter 14 and verse number 1. And Samson went down to Timnath. Wasn't Samson's life always marked by going down? May it's sad when a believer is going down. Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman of Timnath of the daughters of Philistine, and that's never good for Samson. Look at verse 5 and 6. Then Samson went down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Now I tell you, I understand the context, but here is Samson, and he faces the lion, and by the power of the Spirit of God, he has victory over this lion. You know, the Bible talks about a lion that you and I have to face. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Tell me, has the devil been at your heels? Does it seem at these times that he has been giving you so much grief? Has the temptation been so great in your life? Even in this lockdown period, yes, it can be a time when we can spend more time with the Lord and more time in prayer. But for some, there's the opportunity to sin. And you know, there's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the old devil takes the world and tells you how attractive it is. And the flesh, it wants a piece of the world. Have you given in? Have you been tempted by the devil? And here's Samson. He's facing the lion, and he has this wonderful victory. James says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And you know, the devil wants to hand you a poison chalice and tell you, "This is good, this tastes good." And for young people, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's immoral sexual behavior, whatever it is, and he's dangling it before you. And he says, "Here, this is something really good," and you're tempted to take this poison chalice. And the old lion is giving you a difficult time. But here's Samson, full of the Spirit of God, and he defeats the lion. Look down to verses 8 and 9. After a time, he returned to take her and turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. This is Samson reading about, "And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion, and he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother, and he gave them. And they did eat, but he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." Now again, I just want you to see the picture here. Here is Samson. He has faced the lion. He has defeated the lion by the power of the Spirit of God. And here is the honey. Let me say this to all of us, but even particularly to our young people. The old devil wants you to take that poison chalice. And he wants to tell you how sweet it is. And if you succumb to the temptation, I'll tell you, it's bitter. And it's tearful. And it'll cause you to have deep sorrow. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than the sweet taste of victory. And there's honey for the journey. And sweet is the taste of the victory. You know, we read in Matthew 4, verse 11, after the temptation of Christ, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Far sweeter than the taste of the tempter's poison chalice is the victorious honey that the Lord has for you. Oh, there's honey for the journey this morning. Have you been looking for the honey? Honey for the rearing, honey when there's murmuring, honey when we're challenged by the word of God, honey when we're resisting the devil. And I'll tell you, maybe the temptation is hot this morning and it's heavy this morning. I'll tell you, will you look to the Lord? Because there's sweet honey in the victory. Let me say this, there's honey when we're battling. I want you to come to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. And we're going to read from verse number 24. And I've called this battling. I'll tell you, has life been a battle for you? Has the work of God been a battle for you? 1 Samuel 14, verse 24. The men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. What an idiot Saul was. What a fool. Here are men who've been battling all day, and they're weary, and they're about to drop off their feet. And what does Saul say? He says, don't eat anything. Jonathan hadn't heard it. Look at verse 25, 1 Samuel 14. And all they of the land came to the wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people came into the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. Here was the honey. And because of this fool Saul, these men wouldn't take it. Verse 27. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put his hand to the end of the rod that was in his hand, dipped it in the honeycomb, put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Jonathan had been at the coal face. He had seen the enemy scattered. He was a battle-weary sent. He's about to drop of his feet and he needed the honey. Remember what Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I wonder, are there some in the service of the Lord? Let me tell you, this coronavirus has been a testing time, particularly for those in the oversight of a church. It's a difficult time. I'll tell you, I've never been through pressure like it. And yet I know that there's honey. There's honey from the hand of the Lord. And times when you're ready to drop, humanly speaking. Times when you feel so fatigued and so battle-weary. How you need the honey. And thank God there's honey for the journey. Those little drops of encouragement you get here, there, and everywhere. Just some little word of encouragement, some little thank you. Have you encouraged the oversight in the assembly here? Not easy to keep things going. Just a little honey, just a little phone call to tell someone, thank you for all you're doing. I want you to come to Leviticus for a moment. We're nearly finished. Come over to Leviticus chapter 2. Because we've been thinking about honey for rearing and honey for the murmuring and honey for challenging and honey for resisting and honey for battling and how there's honey for the journey this morning. Come over to Leviticus chapter 2 just for a moment. We're nearly through. Leviticus chapter 2 and verse number 1. And here are the offerings in Leviticus. And I'll keep this very simple this morning. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of the fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense therein. Here's the meal offering, and this meal offering speaks of Christ. It was fine flour. There was no coarseness. I tell you, there's no rough edges in Christ. You know, we as believers, we need the sharp edges knocked off us, not with Christ. He was fine. He was perfect. Absolutely perfect. the captain of our salvation, was made perfect through suffering. He was the perfect son in glory. He was the perfect servant when he came into this world. He was the perfect sacrifice. He died and was buried and rose again triumphant. He's the perfect Savior. Oh, he's perfect, no coarseness. But look how this was offered. Look at verse 4. And if thou bring an oblation of the meat offering, baked in an oven. Sometimes it was baked in an oven. Look at verse 5. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, baked in a pan. Sometimes it was baked in a pan. Look at verse 7. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, baked in the frying pan. And here, sometimes it was an oven, sometimes a pan, sometimes a frying pan. Here's something that speaks of Christ. And he's going through these experiences. Sometimes, you know, it was like baked in a pan. Everybody could see the sufferings of Christ. And you see, when Christ was beaten and battered and bruised and all the physical anguish, my, they could see all the sufferings. It was in the pan. And sometimes he was in the frying pan. You know, the fierceness of the suffering of Christ. What it must have been to have your back ripped asunder, your hands and feet nailed to a cross, to be lifted up between heaven and earth, hanging on a cross stark naked. What it must have been. And sometimes you can see the suffering. It's in the pan. And sometimes, like the frying pan, you see the fierceness of it. But I'll tell you, the real suffering is when Christ was baked in the oven, seen by none, only God the Father. When he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God the Son became sin for us, the one who knew no sin. What it must have been. And how Christ really suffered as he hung on that cross, the sinless, spotless, crimeless, harmless Son of the living God. Oh, what a Savior that he died for me. Here's something I want you to notice in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. And of course, leaven speaks of sin, and there was no sin associated with Christ. For ye shall burn no leaven, and here's the thing, nor any honey. See, when Christ was in the journey, see, when Christ was going through Calvary and through the cross, when he was dying the just for the unjust, listen, there was no honey. There was nothing to sweeten the journey for Christ. He really died for sinners like you and sinners like me. He faced Calvary all alone. And let me tell you this, because he faced Calvary all alone, he is able to give us honey for the journey. Because this morning he's alive. And alive forevermore. Let me tell you some of the honey that you and I have for the journey. We have the honey of his presence. He says, I'll never leave thee. And I'll never forsake thee. No matter who you have, who you don't have, no matter how isolated you've had to be, no matter how shut in you've had to be, just like Christ when he stepped on that morn into the meeting. Remember, the door was shut and Christ came into the midst of him and he says, peace be unto thee. I'll tell you, no door can keep Christ out. You've got the presence of the Savior this morning. What a honey is it? You know, you've got the provision this morning. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My, it's honey this morning. You see the presence, you see his provision, you see his power. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul says that when I am weak, then I'm strong. Are you weak this morning? You're the one that God can come to and give you strength. There's honey for the journey this morning. The honey of his presence, the honey of his provision, the honey of his power. Listen, the honey of his prize. Remember what Paul said, are you not our joy and crown of rejoicing? He was speaking to believers that he'd been used to point to Christ. And you see your service for the Lord. Listen, yes, you're battle weary this morning. But oh, what prize ahead. If even one soul will be in heaven because of your efforts, oh, what joy, what honey for the soul. Just to hear one person has found the Lord, someone who wants to be baptized, some little word of encouragement, there's honey. There's honey because of the presence of the Lord. There's honey because of the provision of the Lord. There's honey in the power of the Lord. There's honey in the prize of the Lord. There's honey in the progress. My, we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And I'll tell you, when you see others grow, when you know you're growing spiritually, it's honey for the journey. Yes, it's difficult, it's testing, it's trying, it's tearful, it's tribulation at times. But there's honey for the journey. There's honey from His presence. There's honey from His provision, from His power, from the prize, from the progress. My, what honey from His promises. All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. Every promise in this book is yours. Honey. There's honey for the journey this morning. The honey of His presence, the honey of His provision, His power, His prize, the progress, His promises. There's honey from His peace. My peace, He said, give I unto you. It's the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Listen. In Westminster, they don't know what they're doing. In Stormont, they don't know what they're doing. In the White House, they don't know what they're doing. There's turmoil, there's confusion. There's all sorts of things going on throughout the world. But listen, we've got a God who gives us peace. And in the midst of the storm, it may be raging in the Sea of Galilee, but our Savior just says, peace be still. Are you getting the honey this morning? Oh, there's honey from His prospect this morning. You know, Christ died and was buried and He rose again triumphant. And He says, because ye live, I shall live also. And because Jesus Christ is alive, you've got eternal life if He's your Savior this morning. And one day you'll be with Him in glory. And no matter what happens this scene of time, my, there's that wonderful honey, you can look ahead. And you can say, this old world is not my final home. What a Savior we have this morning. Are you looking for the honey this morning? You know, Psalm 81, God reminds Israel of His great blessings and the privileges He had bestowed upon them. It's really a psalm of missed opportunity. We read this in Psalm 81, verse 11, but, my people would not hearken to my voice. And Israel would none of me. It's a psalm of missed opportunity. And when we come to Psalm 81, verse 16, and you'll know the first part of this verse, I'm sure. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat. That's what God had for them. Listen to this. And with honey out of the rock. You know, our rock is Christ Jesus. And there's honey. There's honey out of the rock this morning. And there's honey for you, but, my people would not hearken to my voice. Listen, is there disobedience this morning? Are you being robbed of the honey? Let me tell you, just like Jacob, their father, give them honey for the journey. Our Heavenly Father has honey for the journey this morning. Oh, let's make sure you look for the honey this morning. You know, I was in Disneyland Paris quite a number of years ago. I don't know what it's like now. I was there on a coach tour. I was speaking. And one of the things they had was a show called Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And when I was thinking of that and thinking of this message, I wonder, sometimes are we saying, honey, we have shrunk the Lord. How big is your God this morning? Let me tell you, He's bigger than any virus. He's bigger than any ruler. He's bigger than any government. And no matter what the journey is this morning, there's honey. There's honey for the journey. But I'll tell you, you need to stay close to the rock. Will you stay close to the rock? Let's close in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Thy word this morning. And oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the honey we find for the journey. And Lord, You know those who have been listening this morning, perhaps some listening later on, some through CD ministry. Lord, whatever the need, wherever we find them, Lord, the journey, like Elijah, the journey is too great for us. And Lord, sometimes we feel like giving up. But oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that there's honey for the journey. We pray that God's people will stay close to the rock. And Lord, that they'll know abundance of honey for the journey. Bless thy word to our hearts this morning. For it's in and through our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen.